welcome along to the Property Academy podcast. I'm your host, Henry Knight.
And I'm Andrew Nicol.
And on the show, we're talking about the modern first home buyer. So it's quite interesting because the first home buyers are changing. They're obviously different to 30, 40, 50 years ago when people were buying their first homes back then. So we're very pleased for the final time in this little first home buyer series to be joined by Sammy Morrison from Opus First Home. And Sammy, you're here today to walk us through some case studies of some of the first home buyers you've been working with to just show us, you know, what are the situations where people actually are able to buy their first home in Auckland today? Because I know that's what you do. But just because I don't think we've talked about what you do in the last couple of episodes, just to summarize what Sammy does is she goes out and works with first home buyers, figures out what roughly they can afford, and then goes out and finds new build developments, new build properties that meet their criteria, meet what they want to do, and fit within their budget. So it's pretty cool, actually. But let me ask you this question, Sammy. You're mainly helping people buy their first homes in Auckland, and it's probably, I can't believe that there actually are any first home buyers in Auckland given the state of the media at the moment. But what does someone buying their first home in Auckland actually look like? Are they 55 and earn 200 grand a year?
Look, we've got a pretty good variety of first home buyers actually coming through. So anywhere from your early 20s to your late 40s typically. We do see more and more couples coming through and using their buying power collectively to buy a home, or siblings coming through and using their buying power together. It's a difficult road to be doing it on your own, but look, there's ways around it. We do certainly have some younger first home buyers struggling but making it work. So yeah, it's definitely changing, but I couldn't say we have a typical first home buyer as of yet. It's pretty varied.
So Sammy, what sort of budget are first home buyers looking at in Auckland?
That's a great question, Andrew. We are struggling to find anything under 700 at the moment. We're getting the occasional one come through, but they are looking more and more likely to be looking at a $950 to $1.2 million first home.
So people are partnering up or saving a bit more to try and stretch their budget as far as possible to get something that maybe suit them for 5 to 10 years rather than just something right now. Oh, that makes sense. And what's the mood of first home buyers? Are they feeling dejected? Do they still have motivation? Are they feeling frustrated with banks, or do they just hate all us property investors?
Hey, it's a tough world out there for first home buyers at the moment. You know, you go on Trade Me, you finally feel like you're ready to buy a home and you come up blank. There's not a lot out there at the moment, especially in your preferred areas or your preferred housing style. Yeah, people are feeling dejected, to say the least.
And that's actually quite an interesting comment about the lack of stock on Trade Me. So just at the weekend, I wanted to have a look at everything in the market just to kind of make sure that we'd captured everything possible for first-time info investor, and specifically try and find something for one of our team to buy who's got some certain criteria. And there was just nothing. And it's funny, we've got more stuff available off market than's actually being advertised at the moment, because stuff doesn't even make the market some of the time now.
Yeah, you're not wrong there.
Now, isn't it interesting, though, Sammy, that you're talking about people potentially spending $1.2 million and you're saying, well, they're not able to buy in their preferred areas and, you know, X, Y, Z. It's quite interesting. But one thing that is a bit surprising for me is not just that, but how is it that a first home buyer is getting to a $1.2 million purchase price? So they're doing 10% deposits and, you know, they're bringing 60K each, or they're tapping into bank of mum and dad. How are they getting the deposit for that $1.2 million purchase price?
The largest contributor is still going to be KiwiSaver. Typically, you've got 50 to 70K each in your KiwiSaver for these buyers. And then people are getting creative. I've got siblings that are teaming up. I have got friends that are buying together. And then I've got people who are accessing their inheritance early. There's definitely been some creative ways to make their dream home come true. But yeah, definitely it's been a struggle to get to that $1.2 million first home deposit.
How do you access your inheritance sooner? Do you just do mum off at Cliff or something?
You're just the best, your favourite child for the next 10 Mother's Days. And you just have to become the favourite, I suppose.
I already am, obviously.
Well, walk us through in that case, Sammy. Give us a couple of case studies about first home buyers who are out there. Because what I want to show to people is that, hey, it's still possible. And, you know, in some cases, first home buyers are not actually buying the cheapest properties possible and holding out for those 650 or 700K properties, which are a bit rare, but still come around. You know, people are purchasing at that higher amount, 1.2 mil in this case. So give us a couple of case studies about people who are actually out there purchasing properties.
Sure. Okay. So we've got Rosie, for instance. So Rosie actually had a property before with her parents and her sister. They renovated it. They didn't live in it themselves, but the sister actually did. They've then gone on to sell at quite a big profit. So the sisters have now got money for a deposit each. So they've got two homes to get now. She's now purchasing technically her first home on her own with her boyfriend. So this will be his first home. So yeah, they've actually teamed up and then split off, and now they've got two deposits using that profit to now go and get their own individual homes.
Just in case anyone's listening to this thinking, I thought a first home had to genuinely be a first home. You're right and you're wrong. So if you appear on a title of property, so it can be a rental property or it can be a trust that you're the trustee of, you therefore don't qualify for first home buyers grant, all those kind of things. But there is the second chance exemption. So with your KiwiSaver, if you've been through a separation or if you're in the same position as a first home buyer, sometimes you can get sign off from that. So it's worth investigating that some of the time.
But in Rosie's situation here, I think because she had the profit, and I actually know Rosie, by the way, that's why we're talking about her. Because she had that big profit from the way she used that property as a stepping stone, even though she didn't live in it, that's kind of become her deposit. So she hasn't needed to access the first home grant or KiwiSaver again.
Okay.
Essentially,
okay.
She'd already spent it. But I suppose here you're using property as a stepping stone to get into the first home that you really want.
Hit us with another one, Sammy.
Okay, so we had Michael. He is a single dad with two kids. So he has been saving and saving and saving. He's got an impressive 70K in his KiwiSaver, which I think is a big feat. He's been gifted 80K. So this was his gifted inheritance that he's got early. And he has now got, so I find this quite interesting. He does have to come up with an extra 10K for this deposit, but he's got until, because he's doing it off plan, he's got until 2023 when that house settles to come up with that extra 10K himself in savings, and he's got a really solid plan to do that.
And just walk us through what you mean by that with the deposit and when he's going to come up with it, because some people might not be totally familiar with that.
He needed to come up with 10% to pay the developer upon going unconditional. Right, so he's got his 10% there. He then needed to come up with the extra 10% to settle his mortgage, but that's not until 2023. So he's got the majority of that there. He just needs to come up with an extra, I think it was $10,000 between now and settlement in 2023.
Yeah, that's one of the great things about buying off plans for first home buyers, that if you've got a certain amount that you're saving every week or fortnight out of your pay packet, so long as you stick to that and set yourself that specific goal around your deposit shortfall, you can pay what you need to pay the deposit and now to the developer, and then the rest of it you just need to come up with later on. So that's awesome.
The other thing that I thought was quite interesting here with Michael as well is that he's actually going to keep his KiwiSaver in there and up his contribution. So that's going to be a really easy feat for him. He'll use his inheritance for the 10% now, and then he'll take out his KiwiSaver at settlement with that higher contribution rate.
Has he moved his KiwiSaver into a more conservative fund since he's going to need it in quite a short time? What's he done in terms of the choice of fund with the KiwiSaver?
I would have to check with his broker to see what he has done there, but I would assume that would be a really good move for him.
Yeah, this is something that Ed and I saw a lot of in the first lockdown. So as you probably remember, KiwiSaver funds took a smash back when we had their first lockdown over a year ago. Some people lost 40% on their funds. Now, if you were relying on that for your deposit and then you came out of lockdown, you had to pay your deposit on your house for your settlement, you're in real trouble. So it could be prudent to talk to a financial advisor about maybe changing to a more conservative fund if you are using that money for a deposit when you come time to use it, because you'll find that if you're young, probably you're in quite an aggressive fund, which are far more volatile when you have market disruptions like COVID-19. Storm in a teacup, you heard it here first.
And just give us one more, Sammy. Talk to us about, I love it. I love the first home buyers buying. Talk to us about somebody else purchasing.
Cool. So I had a really interesting first home buyer that I've been working with for the last couple of months. And it's been quite an interesting time for her, actually. COVID and lockdown have made this decision quite easy for her. So she's now in a position with work where she can work remotely. So that's been quite a big game changer for her. So she can't actually afford to get what she classes as her dream home in Auckland, or her first home in Auckland. So she's actually going to move to the Waikato and work remotely from the Waikato, just doing 2 days travelling to Auckland. So she's got a little bit creative. She's made some massive life changes and decisions, and she is now looking to settle on a property we found her in Waikato and move her life there for her home.
Which town in the Waikato?
She's looking in Morrinsville.
Oh, Jacinda Ardern territory. That's quite interesting. You know what? And you kind of admire somebody who decides to upend their life because they've made the decision that buying their first home is so important to them that they're going to make a step like this. I just think that's so admirable. Just give us a sense, though, Sammy. How much more affordable is a property in Morrinsville compared to the likes of Auckland?
Well, she is looking at a house and land. So she's still looking at late sevens for this property. But for what she's getting a house and land package. You'd be looking at 1.1 for the same property in Auckland.
And I think the big thing to remember is one of the great things that came out of COVID is we all know how to use Zoom now. And we all know how to work from home or work remotely.
Some of us.
And actually, we're getting pretty used to it, even if we are going a bit stir crazy for those of you in Auckland. And so I think that this is going to become a bit more normal. Coming out of this, once everyone's vaccinated, people are suddenly going to think, hey, if I can't afford, and you do often see this trickle down from Auckland market, you know, heating up. It trickles down into the regions because people go, hey, look, I can work remotely and I can get a job somewhere else and maybe I don't get paid as much if I do transfer my job, if I do have to be actually on site all the time, but people do move to get the property that they want. Ed, being our data man, do you reckon home ownership's dead?
Oh, look, absolutely not. Now, I love to hate on the media a wee bit, but can I just say they are always the bearer of bad news and they'll never celebrate the good things. So my friends at CoreLogic, they recently released what they call as their buyer classification data. And this is where they break down what percentage of the market is bought by first home buyers, which percentage of the market is bought by investors, so on and so forth. Well, I tell you what, blow me down, August 2021, the greatest proportion of first home buyers purchasing in the market ever since that index started back in 2006. So you might say, oh, 2006, house prices so cheap, easy to buy back then. Yeah, but only 22% of the market was first home buyers. Now, how much? 26.3% of the market was bought by first home buyers. So house prices might be expensive, but boy, those first home buyers are active. They are out there purchasing, and it is a beautiful thing. So I think that all of you listening to the show, I need to enlist you within my own media organization, Property Academy Incorporated, or Property Academy News, to go out and spread that word that, hey, first home buyers, it's at an all-time high right now, and that's a beautiful thing. It's just a wonderful thing. And if there's some first home buyers out there feeling dejected, thinking they can't do it, hey, houses might be very expensive. That's absolutely true. But the data doesn't lie. There are more first home buyers purchasing properties now than there ever have been. And I just think it's just such a wonderful thing. But just walk us through, Sammy. People have obviously heard you over the last 3 episodes on here, you know, having a jibber jabber about first homes. Just walk us through, what is it that you actually do before we let you go? What do you actually do for these first home buyers?
Cool. So I guess I am more like a first home buyer's agent. I'm your first home fairy godmother. First home buyers come to me.
Did you like that one there, Ed?
First home buyers come to me with what they want, and we kind of create a really fun shopping list. The next step is for me to get buyers to chat to their mortgage broker. So we have a really realistic expectation for price. I will then take your little hit list or your shopping list or your dream first home list and take that to developers that might have something that would suit you. I'll then come back and present you with these different options, see which one will work, and then I can actually guide you through the whole process step by step.
You know what? I do think that it's quite important as well, Sammy, though, that there is somebody out there. And often, sometimes mortgage brokers do play this role, but to, you know, kind of guide the first home buyers through it, because I got so many questions, you know, and, you know, they want to make sure they're a good decision. So I think, oh, look, you call yourself the fairy godmother. I do think you're doing God's work going out there doing that. That's just a beautiful thing. And look, Sammy, just before we wrap up, what are you charging these first home buyers just before they get their hopes up?
Yeah, so this is an absolutely free service, which is crazy. But, you know, we're here to guide you and there's no cost to you. We get our fee from the developer that you end up settling with. So there's no price or cost to you for our service at any stage.
Fantastic. Let's wrap it up there. But please don't forget to rate, review and subscribe to the Property Academy podcast. Really does help us get the message out to more people. And hey, if you do want to have a chit chat with old Sammy here, then head over to opusfirsthome.co.nz. You'll be able to find out more. And don't forget, webinar is on tonight. How to live off your property investment portfolio. It is going to be a banger. We're going to talk about the strategies you can use to fund your lifestyle off your property investment portfolio. So tap a swipe over the cover art. There'll be a link in there to where you can sign up, or just go to opuspartners.co.nz/webinar. Thanks for listening to the Property Academy podcast. I'm your host, Ed McKnight.
And I'm Andrew Nicol.
And we're going to be back again tomorrow with even more daily strategies, tactics and insights to help you get the most out of the New Zealand property market. Until next time.